Marilee Bradley is a busy mom. With six kids in the home, she knows a life filled with schedules, lessons, practices, and lots of activities. It's balancing all that activity that gets challenging. One of our favorite guests, Marilee, is back for her monthly visit with us. Marilee, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Marilee, it's so fun to have you on. Have you on Mondays now regularly, which is always a hoot. But then also once a month we connect like this and talk about something that's on a mother's heart. Talk to us. What's been kind of rolling around that noggin here recently?
I had very recently had kind of a breakdown of feeling like, oh my goodness, we are rolling into this very hyper, over-scheduled time. And first of all, in the seasons, as we get ready for the holidays, and then also in my family's season, as we're having a middle schooler now and all that that entails, that I'm just struggling to figure out, okay, what are the right godly priorities when there are so many demands on our schedules as a family?
Yeah. So six kids and you're busy?
I think what's funny is we've always been busy, but it's been busy inside our home. And now we're moving to that season where we're busy outside of our home. And that's just been a totally different kind of busy and a big adjustment for our family.
What are some of the scheduling pressures that are likely pressing in on us as families these days?
I feel like we just have so many opportunities for our kids, and opportunity can be such a good thing. We want that for our children, but trying to figure out which are the right and best opportunities for our kids can just be overwhelming. So we've got music lessons, and we've got sports activities, and we've got church activities, and trying to figure out how to rank those things, that's been a lot. That's been overwhelming.
Yeah. As you say that, Marilee, I think it's just good for all of us just to go, okay, wait. It is not possible for me to do all the things that my kids and me have opportunity to do. I mean, it's a logical statement, but I think it can be helpful just to go, okay, we can't do it all.
Yes, we've been doing this Bible study with our life group, and we've been going through the Jen Wilkin book where it talks about the attributes of God. And she's been talking about how God is infinite. He has no boundaries. We intentionally have boundaries.
Yes.
We have limits. We can only do so much. And I think as parents, we want to be able to do everything and give everything to our kids and for our kids to be able to do everything they want to do. And it's just actually not possible. So figuring out how to make peace with that, I think, is kind of the purpose of this season of family life.
Marilee, I remember one day when my kids were pretty young, one of them, there was something that they were supposed to do or whatever. I can't remember what it was, but I was kind of asking them like why it didn't get done. And they said, I just been so busy. And I'm like, going, get a life, kid. Like, what are you talking about? Like, just wait. But yet kids are busy today, right? And it's getting a little crazy sometimes. So like, what do you think some of the factors are that are leading kids to be so scheduled today?
I think some of it is all of these amazing opportunities we can give them, but I think some of it too is that we don't know how to handle our kids being kids. It's easier for me to pay the YMCA to teach my kid how to play soccer than for me to go out and supervise them just playing soccer in the yard. Right. You know, it requires a very hands-on role when we don't give our kids all of these kind of scheduled, structured activities that then as parents, they're going to make mischief, they're going to make messes. So I think there's become this push to get our kids into all kinds of things because we're not sure what to do with them, especially if we're trying to avoid the hazards of so much screen time. So then this feels like a great option, but then we start to realize like we're losing influence in our kids' lives. We're losing time with our kids because we keep putting them in all these activities.
As you say that, Marilee, it just rings so true that we can get uncomfortable in a sense not having something for our kids to do. It becomes normal, right? So whenever there's a free moment, we're going, okay, how do we get them busy again?
Right. And there's so much important value in letting our kids be creative, have free time. And what kid has the ability to have free time now? But I think some of that, too, is the comparison game. When we see that the neighbor kids are doing year-round sports, when we see the other kids at church that are involved in all kinds of music lessons at an early age or whatever that is, that we start to feel like, oh, no, our kids are getting behind because they're not doing all these things. It just can feel like so much pressure to keep our kids overscheduled.
Marilee, you said something earlier this morning. We were talking about some of the things that maybe drive parents to get their kids involved. And one of those is to fight against screen time because, you know, for the average kid, if they don't have something scheduled, they're going to pick up their phone or their device of some sort and get on social media in some way. And we don't want that. So let's get them involved with this, this or that. I mean, I understand that. I mean, I've felt that myself. So like, how do you combat screen time without getting them scheduled and create free freedom and time for kids to be creative if they don't want to be creative?
So much of this comes down to relationship. We want to encourage them to have relationships, and that's where a lot of their creativity develops, is in play with other people or interacting with other people. So it's meant being willing to host the play date. I might rather not have to host at my house. So they have a friend to play with, or me sitting down with them with a board game, which I also don't love, you know, but these are the investment that it takes if I want to say, I want your brain to have room to be free or to have rest, that sometimes we don't even value that for our kids. But I think so much of that even is what we're modeling as parents. Are we having rest? Are we interacting with friends? Or are we always on our screens or being scheduled in some kind of meeting or whatever our activities are?
Yeah. Is part of it also us being willing to be that friend to our kids that engage them in something outside of screens and that kind of thing? Like, are we able to slow down our life to connect in meaningful and thoughtful and creative ways with our kids?
That's the question. And I think it's a scary question sometimes because it means leaving open space. And maybe our kids will need us during that time and maybe they won't. And we would so love to have our worth judged by all the great things that we're doing. But I think it's hard sometimes for us to just leave that open space to be available for our kids.
Marilee, as I think about families just trying to manage the busyness that can happen within their families, especially if they start adding kids, you know, sometimes people go, well, I'm just going to let my kid have one outside activity. That's one strategy I've seen families use. We did some of that when we had kids in our home. You've got six kids. I don't know how much helpful that would be for you because, like, so that's six outside activities. But, like, what are some of the things that you've done principally to try to help manage schedule?
Some of it for us has been figuring out how we can double up. So, like, we have one night of piano lessons, and so four kids are going to piano lessons, and we're doing that all together. So while one of them's sitting in the piano lesson, you know, I'm spending unscheduled time with these other three kids that we have that available to us. If we're doing church activities, we're doing that all together as a family for the most part. You know, if you've got multiple kids that can go to youth group, those kind of things where we can do them in some ways even as a family as we're doing these scheduled activities. But then also trying to be open to what our kids are good at, what they're excited about, and figuring out how to tap into that. I think for us, as we've talked about so many times, Stan, it's that beginning with the end in mind. And if I'm getting my four-year-old in gymnastics, my husband and I have said, okay, is our goal that she be an Olympic athlete? It's actually not. That's not our highest priority for her life. You know, our highest priority for her life is that she loves Jesus and that we're modeling that well and that she has healthy views about who she is and she knows she's loved by her family. So those are the values that are going to drive the activities we do with our kids.
Marilee, we've been talking a lot about just the busyness of our kids. So what about moms? Like, what are you hearing from moms that you kind of connect with? What's the sense of busyness among moms?
I don't know if this is statistically true, but I feel like the conversations I'm having with moms, even who would identify themselves as stay-at-home moms, is that almost everybody has, like, a side hustle. Everybody has something that they're doing now along with that. And I think it's this desire to want to be valuable to the world. And that can put so much pressure and stress on us when we are also responsible for raising our kids. So I think we're modeling for our kids that our value comes from the outside things that we do and not who we are. And we're modeling for our kids what it looks like to be constantly stressed, to be always busy, to be always on the move, instead of showing our kids what it looks like to experience rest, to create time for creativity or for personal connections. So I think if we're seeing that, if you're having that conversation with your kids and they're like, man, I'm just so busy, I think sometimes that's the reflection of what they've heard us say and how we're finding our value.
Yeah. So what's been helpful for you? How do you grapple with this whole thing of self-worth and being a mom and having only a very measured amount of time that you can do on outside activities?
Something I'm learning to do is, you know, if something matters to me, I put it on the calendar. If we don't want to forget that this kid has this commitment or a birthday party, we put it on the calendar. I've had to mentally start putting breaks on the calendar that Friday nights we're sitting down as a family and we're going to make sure that we're having special, either we're all outside playing or we're all going to watch a movie together, whatever that looks like. But we've got to start setting aside some of those things and saying we have a schedule conflict that night. Even if the schedule conflict is our family, that it needs to take priority in some sense when we have those kind of moments. But it requires being intentional and not just letting every free night get eaten up by whatever anybody else needs for us to do. As far as mom identity, when my relationships with my kids are strained or when I'm starting to see them take those first steps to leave the nest as they're getting more scheduled and they're getting more busy, then there's that push for me to feel like I need to be more scheduled and more busy because they don't need me the same way. And I'm having to push back on that and realize my kids still do need me. And in fact, in some ways, I need to be more intentional about using my time when they're not home to do all the things so that when they're home, I can just be present for them because they are not done needing parenting at this point.
Marilee, many of us have heard the analogy of the frog in the kettle, where you put a frog in the kettle and you start turning up the heat and it adapts, and then all of a sudden it dies because it kept adapting and didn't realize how close it was getting to the heat. As we're talking about busyness this morning and families being busy, moms and kids being busy, that's a progressive thing that maybe is sneaking up on us as families, and we're adapting to it and it's becoming normal that we don't even realize that we're redlining. So like, what are some of the ways that we can know that maybe our family is too busy and we might need to slow down a little bit?
I think you have to look at what your family priorities are, and are we still doing those things that we would say are so important? So for our family, it's a big deal to us that we're eating dinner together every night. If I find that all of a sudden we're not able to do those family meals together, that's going to be a concern to me, and I'm going to want to look real carefully at our schedule to figure out how we can either make those happen or what we need to let go of so that we can continue to do that. And I feel the same way about church attendance. Are we getting so busy on Saturday nights that all of a sudden we're not at church when we should be, or are we scheduling things to happen during church time or during church activities? Those are priorities to our family. And if they're not happening, then we've got a problem. So learning to recognize, is that happening more frequently than we feel okay about as a family? We get to be the parents. We get to make those decisions and say, you know what, this actually isn't best for my child. If what I most want for them is for them to know and love Jesus, then I may have to make some other decisions.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, one of the things that we did as a family was we looked at our week and we said, okay, what are the connecting points that we want to have as a family that we feel like, man, if we hit these, we're going to be at a healthy place. For us, it was dinner time as well. Pretty much without fail, we locked in a family night each week. And then we made Sundays family days. So all day Sunday, we were going to be together as a family. Then if everything else got filled and a little bit crazy, we're still going to be okay.
And I love that you're talking about having those conversations with your kids. You're looking over your schedules together. And I think it's so important as our kids get older to keep them in the loop of those conversations so they know what your priorities are. And how beautiful that they would know what you most want is to be together as a family. Not what you most want is that they're the star of the basketball team or if they're killing themselves to get good grades. But you want those connecting points, and you're going to schedule around those things.
Merely, there's a statement I've heard over the years that if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? And so if a lot of people aren't doing it, probably means it's not easy. So as we're talking this morning about, you know, just the busyness in our schedule, if slowing down, keeping our families in a more doable, healthy place as far as our busyness was easy, there'd be more families doing it. So why isn't it easy? What makes it hard for us to not get overscheduled?
I think there's those issues of worth that we've been talking about, both for us as parents and for our kids, that we want to see our kids succeed and do well and be the best, and that means they need to be involved in this and that and the other. And so it's really that desire to see them succeed. And then I think there's the pressure our kids feel and put on us to want to be able to do all the things. And it's hard to tell our kids no, especially when what they're asking for is, in theory, a really good thing. I think about when I was a kid asking my dad if I could do one more thing and him saying, I think you've had enough fun this week. And that made zero sense to me at the time. You could never have enough fun. But now as a parent, I see and I'm thankful that he put those limits out there. And I think even for our kids, they're not going to say no. And sometimes they need us to be the parents, and they need us to say, you've had enough fun this week. They need us to be the ones to say no, because they desperately need that rest. So, but it's hard to be the parent that says no.
Marilee, we were just talking about being able and willing to tell our kids no. As I think about that, that sounds just so negative, right? Who likes to be told no? No. Can you go outside? Can I go outside? No. Can I go hang out with my friends? No. We need to kind of create some rhythm in our families and not get so overbooked. Probably going to need to, in some way, say no. But what's a way that we can communicate no, in a sense, to our kids without it sounding so negative, I guess?
I do think there's a beauty in having the conversations with our kids and explaining what our family priorities are and asking them what their priorities are. And I've been blessed to see that sometimes when I have those open conversations with my kids, I don't even have to tell tell them no because they decide the no. If they understand, okay, we need to be in church every Sunday, so if somebody asks you to do something or if there's something that conflicts with that, it's not me telling you no. This is your decision. These are our family priorities that you understand. So you can decide that for yourself. And I think when we're having our kids say no or we're telling our kids no, we want them to understand it's because we have a better yes. It's because we're saying yes to the priorities of God. We're saying yes to the good of our family. We're saying yes to their mental health for them to be able to have time for rest, for creativity, for reading, for being together with their family. It's not always just a no. It's that we have other yeses, better yeses for them.
Yeah, I love it. Because, I mean, that's one thing I've even applied in my own life, that sometimes I've struggled with saying no to myself or trying to not do something. And I've found that displacing things is a much easier motivating thing than just stopping something. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm hearing you say that, no, yeah, we're saying no by saying yes to all these other things. Merely one of the analogies I've heard over the years, when you start talking about time management and how to get things that you need to get into your day, there's this whole picture of a jar, and you've got rocks, and you've got pebbles, and you have sand, and you have water. The question is, what's the trick to getting the rocks to fit in that jar? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, you put the rocks in first. So if you put the rocks in first, and then you put the pebbles in, then you put the sand in, then you put the water in, it all fits. But if you reverse that order, your rocks are not going to fit. So And rocks represent those most important things in life. If we put those rocks in first, we can allow all the other things to fill in the space, and we're still going to be okay. So as you think about the rocks in the life of our families, what are some of the things that you go, man, you know what? This is a rock that we want to make sure that we're prioritizing. We're putting in our schedule first.
Those family meals are so important. And the beauty is that statistically speaking, family meals are so important. It's great to do reading if you're feeling exhausted by the whole idea, to do some reading on how good those are for kids and how good those are for their life choices down the road. Kids need family meals. So for us, that's a non-negotiable as much as we can most nights of the week. Church attendance is another thing for us. Having the time to talk to our kids about spiritual issues and then having the time to have fun with our kids, to do silly activities with our kids. I think even family vacations, even when they're just staycations, but setting aside time for that kind of family bonding, those get to be our rocks. The beautiful thing to me is I remember hearing that analogy as a high schooler, and at that time, I think my priorities were wonky, that I was valuing the wrong things, and it was so good for me to think through that at that age, to realize that my priorities were determining how I was using my time, and that I was putting time into things that actually didn't have long-term value. And so I think to have that conversation, not just between spouses and not just with our kids, but to have our kids have that conversation for themselves, for them to think of their own jar, for them to label their own rocks, what are your priorities, and what's going to matter 10 years from now, 50 years from now, what's going to matter on into eternity. I think our kids can be trusted with some of those conversations.
Well, Merle, as always, a great time this morning just talking about families and family life, and this morning specifically about busyness and schedules. Before we let you go, let's say you have a mom and dad listening this morning, and maybe they've tipped over a little bit, and they're going, you know what, we're redlining. We need to get this thing under control. Like, if there's one starting place that you would encourage them to take a step in this week, what would that look like?
I think it looks like sitting down with your schedule and finding that time that you are going to connect as a family. What's that going to look like this week? Where are we going to intentionally set aside time that we are going to put our phones down, that we're not going to schedule anything else? It's just going to be our family time, and see how that feels. And then how can we make that a priority every single week? That's a beautiful place to start, and then to be able to look more broadly at how is that overscheduling affecting your family and what do you need to do about it on a broad scale. But to start first with that, okay, we need time as a family together. Where are we going to find it?
Well, Merrily, it has been great as always connecting with you again and really thinking about our activities, our schedules, and what is best for our families. Thanks again for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you so much.